it on his cold bending. Pick me up. Always Timmy Turner, always chasing after Vicky. Took me to his fine and gave me peace and chose to cleanse me up. Now I'm testifying.
I am.
A hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
A hypocrite.
I am.
You are.
What now?
Yo! Grace Community Church, how y'all really doing? Let me hear. How you really feeling?
All right. Uh-oh, 12 o'clock ready. Oh, man, Lord, they're going to make me preach today, Lord. They're going to make me preach this morning, man. Can we give it up for that worship team, man? Oh, my. I see why the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people, man. I'm like, can we just do that for the rest of the service, man? As Kevin may fumble, I may fumble it or something. Hey, man, God, I don't know what I'm saying up here. I don't know. But, man, so glad you guys decided to join us today. I am Kevin Dupree. I am the youth pastor here at Grace Community Church. And I've worn out my welcome. I see I'm not too loved like that. No. Hey, and I just really want to, man, make a push real quick. I mean, for youth group. Can I tell you that Gen Z is hungry for Jesus? Can I just make that statement for some of us? Because I know some of us, we're disconnected from this generation, and it may seem like, man, they lost, they out to the wind. But no. Gen Z is hungry for Jesus, and I'm telling you right now, the youth are for you. If you have any inclination or anything that's stirring up in your spirit of, hey, man, I want to come alongside and lead those youth 6 through 12, hey, man, don't keep saying no to God. Please don't, because these youth need you, and they desire to be fed. They are hungry, you guys. Man, also, hey, man, they're going to be leading this world in a few years. So why not let us pour into them the right information besides let the world pour it into them? So, man, if you have a desire to come around and lead some youth, man, we would love to have you. Small group leaders, volunteers. Man, we got 17 or 18 awesome small group leaders. Love them to death, man. But, hey, man, they need some people to come lock arms with them, man. We need 40-plus leaders to come alongside these youth and lead them to the future that God has for them. And so if we can do that, that'll be great. And also, you know, if we want to keep Social Security and stuff, money going to Social Security, we want to build up a right, you know what I mean? Y'all see what I'm saying? I want to be able to retire someday. So, but, yeah, I'll be out in the lobby the next few weeks before we get to our school year started up. And, man, we'd love to just have a conversation with you, hear your heart, but also share my heart about the youth. And if you also have a youth who's looking to do something this summer, we got our summer hangouts going on. We just had one this past Wednesday, and we have three more for this summer. So get your youth out, man. We want to pour into them. We want to love on them. And, man, we just really love stepping in the gap for the youth, man. So thank you guys for that. And it's about time to get to work. Who's ready to get a word this morning? Who came to get a word? They didn't come to play. So if you can grab your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. If you're in the red Bibles underneath your seat, that'll be page 1023. And if you're in your journals, that'll be page 16. And so as you do that, I want us to multitask here as I jump into what the Lord has given me or whatnot. And so if you are a person who love songs, raise your hand. If you love songs, there we go. Okay, we got a love crew in here. You love songs. And now, if we real about this, love songs have grown through the generations and the eras and everything. You know, they got this new day and age of love songs, and they're cute. They got cute love songs. You know what I'm saying? Bruno Mars, because you're amazing. Okay, yeah, y'all more hip than first service. They didn't know what they were talking about there. Y'all more hip than them. See, you got that. Or you got Taylor Swift. It's a love story, baby, just say. Marry me, Juliet, you never have to be alone. Cute, cute love songs. Then you go back to like the 2000s and 90s, man, where they had cute love songs, but they were questionable. Y'all know what I'm saying? They were questionable. You know, songs like, if you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you tonight. That's questionable to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, really? It's cute you'll walk 1,000 miles, but tonight? You're going to get there tonight? I mean, that's questionable. It's cute, but it's questionable. Or, you know, songs like this. Me and my wife had this one in college, man. It was Mariah Carey. You will always be my baby. Do, do, do. oh, okay, they feel it. Do-do-do-do-do-do. But it scared me a little bit because she wanted to give me this song early on in our dating time. And I'm like, wait a minute, girl, that's too early to be talking about I'll always be your baby. Like, what you going to do, lock me in your basement or something? Like, how are you going to make me your baby? For always and forever. I'm like, no. So that was that. So that's that era. But then we get a little bit to the older era. Well, love songs was cute, but they was crazy. And I'm talking about 70s, they was crazy. You know, songs like, if loving you is wrong, I don't. Look, some of y'all crazy folks in here right there. Look, y'all ready to do 25 to life over love. It's like, man, wait a minute, you tripping now. You want to do that? Loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. You ready to do some criminal activity in here. Or you got those ones where it's just like, how do I breathe without you? Hold on, lady, stop. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Do not pass out on this date right now. Do you understand me? That's how you breathe without me when I'm not around. I want to see you still. Breathe, woman. Or y'all know, y'all got this one right here. It's one of those ones. I don't want to close my eyes. I miss. That sounds real zombie-ish right there, brother. If I go to sleep, you looking at me. I wake up in the middle of the night, get in the bathroom, you looking at me. And if I wake up in the morning, you looking at me. Brother, we going to have some problems. Go to sleep. Or you know what? This one right here, y'all already know where I'm going. Y'all already know where I'm going with this love song. Y'all know where I'm going. So let's just do it. Let's just do it. And okay, stop screaming, lady. I can't be with you. You're going to holler throughout our whole relationship, Whitney Houston. You're just going to holler. You're cute, but it's crazy. Y'all know them love songs. So why do I share that with you this morning? Well, gives you the title of my message, What You Know About Love. What you know about love. Say that with me. Say that with me. Say, what you know about love. Yeah. So we're going to dive off into that, and hopefully through the time that I've been given and through God's word, I can give you an answer to that question of so that you can give to someone else about what you know about love. So if you can, stand to your feet as we go to the God's reading, go to the Bible for God's reading of the word. We'll pick up in verse 1 and read through the whole chapter 4 there. So let's begin. Beloved, hold on, real quick, I want you to identify as well too. As we go along with this, I want you to see how many times John uses the word know and love here. He's trying to get us to understand something, to see something. So every time, I want you to either circle that in your journal, highlight it, do whatever, but see just how many times in chapter 4 he says those two words, know and love. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have come out into the world. By this you No, there it is. The Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that has not confessed Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We know we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has not been born, whoever has been born of God knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. That's good. And he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in him and love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Come on now. Because as he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Cast out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Mm. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has, has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. God, have your way in this place, God. Bring about heart transformation, mind transformation, God, so that we may look more and more like your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Have a seat. It's time for me to go to work. It's time for me to go to work. Time for me to go to work. Okay, so when we look at this text, if you were following along, you've seen how many times the word know and the word love was brought out in this text. And now we have to understand and make sure that we go back when we think about the original writings of this, the Greeks writing the original text, words had multiple meanings. So you can have one word and have multiple meanings for it. And so when we look at the book of 1 John here, John is using these words, this word know. We're looking at the word know first. He's interchanging this word know multiple times throughout the chapters. So he's using these two Greek words right here. If you pull them up, and I'll save you the humor of trying to pronounce them or whatnot. But yeah, pull up those Greek words for me. Bam, there we go. Look at there. So if we look at those two words, the definitions look similar, right? They look similar. Why is John using these definitions that look the same? If we even look at some of the scriptures, look at those scriptures and see how they just seem like they flow the same way. If we go to the next slide there, it says, 1 John 2:11 says, and does not know where he is going. Seems like just no to me, but we know that when he appears, seems like just no. We skip down to chapter 5, it says, if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, seems like just no. So he's interchanging these things. But when he gets to chapter 4, he stops interchanging these two types of no's, and he only used one type of no. And it was the second no. So in verse 4, in chapter 4, when we see this, it says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. He's trying to get us to see there's a different type of no that we have to lean into. And the difference between the no's that he's using in the other chapters and the one that he's using in chapter 4 is one thing. All the other ones is about information. It's about head knowledge. The no that he consistently used in chapter 4 is about heart knowledge, intimacy. He's saying, chapter 4, I need you to shift your perspective, and I need you to understand, I'm talking about intimacy here. I'm talking about heart knowledge, not just head knowledge. And so when we look at our world, we look at a world, our world is built on information. We gather up all the information we can, right? We like to get all the information. But see, me growing up, when you needed to get something, information, or you needed to be in the know about what was going on in the world, it was a process. Anybody remember that? How you used to get news in the process? You used to have to watch the news every couple hours it would come on. Remember that? You know what I'm saying? Or you'd have to go down to that little, y'all remember that little blue box, you know what I mean? They used to hold the newspapers. You put coins in there. You're only supposed to take one now. You know what I mean? That's when the world was honest and whatnot. Or you catch somebody letting it go and you run up and get it right there. I had to get that paper for my granny, y'all. You know what I'm saying? You either had to read the paper to get the news. Or you go down to your local barbershop or the beauty salon and you get the news from there, right? Or you go down to the diner. Oh, man, any diner folks in here? Boy, they had all the good gossip at the diner and whatnot. Them old men, they eating oatmeal, grit, anything soft because them dentures, you know what I mean? They eat anything soft. But they knew all the news down there at the diner. Or if you had the luxury of having this lady, y'all remember the gossip queen? Y'all remember the gossip queen? Y'all know that. Look, not just white, they black, white, Asian, all of it. But she had that one look, rollers in her hair. She just couldn't wait to get ready for the day. She was ready to gossip as soon as she got up that morning. Rollers in her hair, everything. I got to call somebody and tell, did you hear what happened? My granny used to have that lady. I used to be like, oh, she calling, huh? Get the gossip. It was a process if we wanted to know information. Back in the day. But now, all you have to do is punch in what you want in your little search box, Google, YouTube, or anything, and you can have information within right there at your fingertips in less than 10 seconds. You know, we say sometimes we live in a godless world, but can I combat with that? I don't think we live in a godless world. I think we live in a world that knows God less. We know a lot about other gods, but we know about the one true God less. We got all the information in the world, but we know about God less. And I think that's where we have to understand and what God's word is saying to us. In Jeremiah 29, 13, it says, you will seek me and find me. Key word right there. When? When? It's a stipulation. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Church, can I tell you, we don't have an information issue. We have an intimacy issue. We got all the information in the world, but we lack intimacy with the one true God. We search him for information, not intimacy. And we were sitting down going through our Thursday run through, and Pastor Doug was kind of mentioning, like, hey, what would be an indicator of this? What could be your barometer to test this out? Because some of us don't understand it. No. But hey, Doug, all you got to do is listen to your prayers. Listen to your prayers. Is your prayers filled with requests and getting information from God? Are you constantly petitioning him and bringing your problems and whatnot? Or when was the last time you just abided in him? When was the last time you just dwelt in his presence? When was the last time you just sat in there like y'all used to do on that phone when you was dating and whatnot, and you just sitting on the phone and you just breathing and everything? You ain't said a word. Y'all, you hang up. You hang up. No, you hang up. You hear breath. Ain't no words going on. You just sitting in that person's presence. When the last time you did that with God? Yeah. Or are you constantly bringing requests? Yeah, if you can't clap, say ouch then. If you can't clap, you can't amen to that, say ooh-wee, because it hurt. Because, see, we going to God for information and bringing him our problems and everything, but we lack in intimacy and wonder why our prayer life suck. Well, because we sitting in his presence with all of our requests. Let's start making him big and us small. He's a big God. So we look at David, who was a man after God's own heart. Are we like that? Are we after God's heart? Or are we after God's stuff? And see, let me get it wrong. Because some of y'all say, ooh, wait a minute. I can't be after. I don't want us to get it twisted. God's stuff isn't the problem. God's okay with you having the stuff. But he's afraid of losing your heart in the midst of going after the stuff. It's when our desire for the stuff outweighs our desire for intimacy with him. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of it is the root of all evil. So the love of stuff is what gets us on the wrong path, induces us, and disconnects us from that relationship with God. I don't know about you, but the more and more I've grown, and the more and more I've become more intimate with God, the more and more I know just how little I do know and how desperately I need him. Jordan, as we were going through, Jordan also mentioned, he was like, man, we can read all the books we want. Some of us, we got about 3 or 4 books going on right now. We got audio books going on, podcasts and everything. We got all this information just laid out, trying to gather all this information. And then wonder why our lives still ain't whole. We wonder why our souls aren't better. Because we can get all the information we want. But if we don't have intimacy with God, we will still feel empty. We will still feel lonely. We still live in depression, anxiety. We will live in these empty spaces. Because we didn't seek intimacy with God. You see, I can't just go to God looking to get a cute sermon to impress people or whatnot. And usually when that happens, when I'm just usually going to God for a sermon, that process is usually frustrating. It's mind-boggling when I sit there and I'm like, I'm frustrated trying to get something from him. Because God is saying, that information pales in comparison to the intimacy I want to have with you right now. And when I switch my mindset, can I tell you, man, God begins to start preaching that message to me. I'm telling you right now. If y'all ain't heard God preach a message, he's a good preacher. Man, I'm saying, since midway, sometimes sermons midway, I get to shout myself like, God, you, oh, my God, I want to use that. Y'all get these messages half as good as he give them to me. He have to preach me down before I preach these here. But that's when I go to him for intimacy, not for information. I pray y'all hear what I'm trying to drill home here. Man, some of us are the struggle that you're battling with in your faith walk is that not a lack of information, it's a lack of intimacy. You're getting it wrong. You're going to God first with all of these information and problems instead of sitting in his presence and abiding and dwelling in him and just saying, God, you're good. You're big. You encompass everything. You created me. This little breath that I'm breathing in, if I even got that, that should be enough to praise you about. I ain't got the money. I ain't got the job. I ain't got the car. I ain't got the house. I ain't got the relationship. God, sometimes my mind ain't even there. But at least I got breath in my body to praise you, the one that created me and loves me. So we gotta switch that. Because can I tell you, I'll let you on a little secret. Hey, when you go to seek him for the intimacy, hey, you'll also get the information intellect too. Want to prove it to you? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and live righteously. Seek him first and live righteously. And then he said, everything you need will be added unto you. Everything you need, not everything you all want. We got to know our difference between our wants and needs. He said, everything you need will be given unto you. So if it's information that you need, he'll give it to you. If it's stuff that you need, he'll give it to you. But he said the stipulation to first do that is seek him first and live righteously. So we can get those things. We just got to put it in perspective. And, you know, some of us, we think, we have the audacity to think, if I just get enough information, I can do this Christian thing right. We think like that. We try to boast ourselves up. We get a lot of information. We say, I got this. Show them that picture because this is how some of y'all are right here. I got this right here. Yeah. Pop my collar. I know my word. Pastor Kevin, you know what? I know my word so good, I can speak truth and love. Y'all ever heard that? Y'all probably been hearing that around lately. I speak truth and love. But can I tell you, you can do right wrong. Yeah, I don't know if you caught that. You can do right wrong. Let me prove it to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. This is Jesus talking. He says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply. Jesus is saying, I will reply. They just said, we did all of these right things in your name. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Can some of y'all married people imagine that? Your spouse that you stood across said, I do, and walked across the aisle, and they look at you and say, I never knew you. Get away from me. That's what Jesus is saying. He's going to say to some people who thought I had a relationship with you. Jesus is going to say, you did right, wrong. Get away from me. Some of us are living out that tension there, thinking we're speaking truth and love and doing right, wrong. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. Get away from you who break God's laws. Hey, you want to know what God's laws is built off of? God's laws were built off of intimacy. God was saying, I want to put these laws in place to keep you away from all of this stuff, but so that you can have intimacy with me. So his laws aren't burdensome, but those who love God will see them not as burdensome. So we can do right, wrong. You see, we can love. Love is the right thing to do. But see, we can do love wrong when we try to weaponize love. So our love doesn't feel like love to people. It actually feels like lashes. Our giving, we can give. Giving is the right thing. Giving of our time, talents, and treasures. But when we give to, hey, look at me. I gave that big check. I serve both services. When we give to be seen, or we give to get more for ourselves, that's doing right, wrong. Or let me bring it closer to home. For some of us spouses or whatnot, we get home and we say, I communicate with my family. I communicate with my wife and kids. I'm at home. I'm present. My presence is there. But see, we can do right, wrong when our communication is belittling, when our communication is demeaning. Hey, when our presence is not fully there, when we preoccupy even at home, we're doing right, wrong. And hey, I'm guilty of this, of the preoccupied stuff. Man, I get home, man, if I'm preparing for a sermon, sometimes my mind is all over the place. I gotta train myself to say, no. Don't do right, wrong. If you're going to be home, be present at home. If you're going to communicate healthy, and don't assume or be passive aggressive, because you can do right, wrong. Can I tell you, church, self-righteousness is toxic. You see, that's why in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says, I come not to call the righteous, those who think they're right. He said, I come for those who are sinners, not the healthy, but the sick. See, some of us need to revisit just how sick we were when Jesus found us. That's why we can't extend love, because we've gotten too full of ourselves in our Christian walk, and we've forgotten just how sick we were and how sick we can be if it had not been for Jesus Christ living in and through us. And when we come to that knowledge, hey, we still better tread lightly, because we too have to answer to a God too that's still holy, that's still loving, that has a judgment day set for us all. See, when people see your love should come wrapped tightly in the burrito wrap of love. You want a kingdom burrito? It's right there. Right there. Look at that one in the middle. Some of y'all love is like this fajita meat. Y'all don't come wrapped in nothing. Y'all got all the meat, truth, peppers, and everything. You gonna get this truth? You gonna get Jesus? You gonna get him right there? Ain't wrapped in nothing. They can't see your love over here. But see, when it's wrapped in the burrito wrap of love, hey, they can't even see your truth coming. All they see is love coming. They see love walking to them. It's, hey, now don't get me wrong. Hey, it's truth in there. It's truth in there. But they can't, they should be the first thing they should see. They should see my love. And also another thing about a burrito, if y'all don't get too hungry, don't start leaving or whatnot. Don't start grub hubbing on me and stuff. Okay, in that burrito, hey, the first bite you get is of the wrap. So the first bite and encounter somebody should get with you is burrito, is love, the wrap. And every time they get a bite of you, they should be able to say, there's some truth in there. And there's some love in there. That's truth and love together. Hey, we got to understand and stop weaponizing truth and love, which changes me to my next word, the love. Is this good? Is this good? We all good? We good? All right, all right. I want to make sure we good. I ain't giving you too much, getting y'all hungry and everything like that. Some of y'all are like, Chipotle sounds good today. Let's look at the second word, love. Love. Because you see, John 8 says God is love. And I want to give you a quick pop quiz. How many times have you seen that phrase, God is love, in your Bible? If you think between 5 or 10, raise your hand. 5 or 10. If you think 10 to 20, raise your hand. God is love. If it's 20 to 30, raise your hand. Okay, let's just go bold. 40 to 100, raise your hand. If you think he said that many times, okay. Well, I'll save you the of trying to go study. It only says it 2 times in your Bible. God is love. And it's right here in 1 John chapter 4, and it's verse 8 and verse 16. Not that God distributes love, not that God shows love, not the distribution of God's love, because that's riddled throughout the Bible. But the fact that God is love, his attribute, who he is, as his characteristic, it only says it twice, and it's right here. Just see that what he's trying to tell us is that God is love. It says he can't take it off. It's not like God can put love on and take it off. It's not like he can derobe himself like it was yesterday's garment. No, no, no. This type of love is who God is. He can't separate himself from it. I know this may be bad grammar right here, but I'm going to use it anyways. God cannot not love because it's who he is. He cannot not love because God is love. And so if we want to get the context for this, because what we got to understand is that God has, there's different types of love in this world, and there's 4 types of love. But see, God's love is an agape love. It's a love that's actionable. It's a love that puts in work. It's a love that endures and is faithful through any circumstance, situation. It's a lasting love. It's a forgiving love. And see, because our world knows that, head knowledge, we got it in our minds. We got that information about God in our heads, but we don't have it in our heart. And so guess what we do? We misuse this phrase, God is love. We misuse God is love. But hey, I'm here to bust somebody's bubble today. Can I tell you, God is love does not mean that God is accepting and affirming of every behavior and lifestyle. God is love doesn't mean he's writing off and signing off on every feeling and thought that you express or that you have. See, we use that as a cop-out. God is love, so I can do whatever I want, do whatever I desire. But do we do that? Parents, is that how you show your kids love? Whatever they do to you, you accept, you write off, you affirm or accept it all? They cuss you out. Oh, I affirm that, yes, yeah. That was great, that was great. Keep doing that. They come through there, breaking your stuff, disrespectful, disobedient or whatnot. We affirm that? No, we don't do it. So why do we expect God to accept that treatment when we don't accept that treatment? Amen. God, just sign off on what I want to do with my life. No, we don't accept that. So why are we asking God to accept that? God is love, but can I tell you, God is still holy. He's still Lord. He's still perfect. See, so we have to stop playing with God and start getting real with him. You see, we live in a world that likes to take text out of context. Doug always tells us context matters. Context matters because the text out of context is a pretext, and a pretext will also ultimately become a misused text. And so for us to understand God's love, we have to break this thing down and look at the passages before it and after it to get a full picture of what God's love is and who God's love is. So I want to pull up a few passages here. A few passages here to help us understand. So this says love is from God. So hey man, any of us talking about I love, but you don't know Jesus or you don't know God, then you're a liar, because it says God, love is from God. What type of love are you giving? I don't know, because if it's not from God, that's fake love. So we got to establish that right now. And so if we look at this passage, then we go to the next one to kind of get surrounding around 8. So it says, in the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Go to the next one there. Because see, now we got to go to 16, where it was second, where it was mentioned second. We got to see before and after to get context to use it right. So 14 and 15. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God can abide in him and he in God. Go to the last one. By this love perfected within us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is in, so also are we in this world. Did anybody see a common thread in there? What was the common thread in there to give us to crack the code of what is God's love? Anybody was paying attention? Y'all ordering Grubhub right now. Let's go to the next slide. Let's help them out here. It was who? It was Jesus. God's love is Jesus. To make it more plain for you, God's love is Jesus wrapped in flesh. God, that's our kingdom burrito is Jesus. You want to know God's love? You want to know what full of grace and truth, like John 1:14 says? It's Jesus. God's love isn't a new relationship. God's love isn't money. God's love isn't a new house. God's love isn't all of those things that he can bring into your life. God's love is Jesus Christ, the son that he sent to be a propitiation for your sin. So whenever we want to know God's love, we better start knowing who Jesus is. And see, when we know who Jesus is, then we can also say in this way. See, we look at that chapter and we say, God, for God so loved the world. And we like to drag it out like, for God so loved the world. Like God's love can be increased. Like it has limits or limitations to it. Like he portions out. No, no, no. Hey, God's love is perfect, complete, and full within itself. God's love. See, some of us don't understand. The weight of God's love, when it hits you, sometimes all you can do is weep. Anybody ever just weep in the presence of God? Where he shows you how terrible you were, but how you are right now. Sometimes he makes you stop saying excuses about yourself. He starts making you stop saying things about yourself that was never meant for you to be said about yourself, when he just overwhelms you with his love. See, when it hits you in its fullness, sometimes all you can do is just weep. I think back now, I wonder why them ladies would be running in the church when I was growing up, and them hats and wigs flying all over the place, and they like, yeah. See, because that weight, the weight of his love didn't hit them, and they understand it. It's pure, it's perfect, it's full. But can I tell you that God's love won't only make you weep, it'll make you work too. Because see, verse 21 says that if you don't love your brother and sister in Christ, then how can you love God? So see, not only will God make you work to love him, and have a relationship with him and abide in him, when his love hits you in his fullness, hey, it'll make you get up off your butt and call that wayward child of yours that you've been writing off. that you've been thinking, hey, I'm done with them or whatnot. It'll make you call that brother and sister in Christ that y'all been beefing. It'll make you get up off your butt and say, you know what? No. I know they're brother and sister of mine. I know they said something. I'm going to get a right understanding on what they said and what they meant. And I'm going to come with it in love and not throwing all my truth at them because they're brother and sister in Christ of mine. And the love of God is going to make me work to do it. See, the love of God is not just going to let you sit on your behind when there's division in the church, when there's division in a relationship. He's going to make you work. Why? Because he worked. Yes. He said, I'm not going to sit back and watch sin just riddle my face. I'm going to get up and do something about it. I'm going to wrap my son in the burrito wrap of love, and I'm going to send him down there to earth so that they understand I came wrapped in flesh to show them my love. Yeah. And that's what Jesus is trying. That's what Jesus represents for us. And so as I begin to wrap up, see, some of us in here who aren't living a joyful life, it's some of us in here who aren't living a complete life, not living a full life. And if today you want to do that, there's an opportunity to. There's one last love song that I love. Evie says it's my favorite song, so I guess it's my favorite church song. It's by Ann Wilson. And so when somebody asks you what you know about love, maybe you should use this song. And the title is this, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He says his love is strong. Wait a minute. And the good news is I know that he. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there is no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus, because his love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So when you ask me what you know about love, I'm going to say what you know about my Jesus. And you too can have that same love song in your heart today. And don't get it twisted. Don't think, oh, man, well, that's for those Christian folk. That's all. No. Because verse 15, in right here in chapter 4, hey, it says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So if you're far from Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, you've never given your life to him, he's made it easy for us. He says, confess and believe in Jesus for the rest of your life. Follow him for the rest of your life. And if that's you today, hey, I want to give you that opportunity to do that. If you're missing the intimacy over the information, God is saying, I want more intimacy with my children. Church, can we stop seeking him for information first and start seeking him more for intimacy? Can we start doing that today? Yes. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to show your love. Just how much you love us, just how much you care for us. It's right there in Jesus Christ. And I pray for the person who may be far from him, who may be living a life that's willfully sinning, God, and far from you. God, I pray that today they come to a full knowledge of who Jesus is and why they so desperately need Jesus. And God, I pray that they reconnect to their Creator and start being sourced with life as they live, as Jesus lives in and through them, Lord. I pray that anyone who's struggling with their walk right now, God, is uncertain about their walk, Lord. I pray that they make that switch today to stop searching you for information and start seeking you for intimacy. And I pray you overflow them with everything they need, God. Thank you for your message today, God. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. 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 Give God a hand clap of praise. Give him a praise. So we have a team that prays for you guys right before service, and this is what they heard from the 11 o'clock service. There is someone who's needing freedom from addiction. There's someone that's needing acceptance of Christ, comfort for their grieving, and then parents who are struggling with children. Oh, man, that lined up there. Well, breathing issues, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Someone needs hope. break spirit of confusion. And so if any of that resonates with you, we got a prayer team here that would love to pray with you here. If none of that resonates with you and you just seeking, hey, I need more intimacy with God. Hey, man, come down here. Flood this altar up. Don't leave today with that same heart that you came in here with seeking information. You may have come in here for a word today, this information, but I pray that God radically wrecked your life and said, no, I need more intimacy with him. And so if that's you, any of that resonate with you, our prayer team would love to pray for you here. If you're online, we don't have anything set up for online, but man, if you call anytime throughout the week here, man, somebody get your call, place to a trained person. We would love to pray for you. So thank you guys so much for coming. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. Grace Community Church.